I am ready to go.
Come on. Give it to the new guy. Dance, Robin.
Yeah, I was not impressed.
That show bores me the heck out. The
Look at you, Justin, connecting the dots.
They've got to cram a lot of really cool stuff into each one.
I like it, the blue bride.
Learning so much right now.
Well, that's my contribution.
Boom. Done.
Ooh, yous, guys. We've got a good show for you this week. Welcome to the Geek Legacy Podcast number 39. I'm here tonight with Justin, David, and Amanda, and we're going a little bit crazy here on the old Jetsons phone. And, yeah, we got all sorts of fun stuff to talk about. Season finale from Walking Dead, Doctor Who's back. Speaking of TV, let's go right to Amanda. What's going on?
Hey, so last night. Oh my god, I'm so tired. I can't remember what day it is. So last night was the finale for The Walking Dead and also the premiere for Game of Thrones, both of which pulled in record numbers for both of their audiences. It was the highest audience for both of those shows for like their entire runs.
I think it was like 300 people.
Like 350.
Possibly 400, I don't know. A lot of people DVR, it's hard to track.
Yeah.
Half of Estonia watched it.
So pretty big turnout. So Walking Dead, you know, Justin and I joke about it all the time, about how we wish Andrew would die, and it looks like the showrunners were listening to us. They gave us what we wanted.
They subscribe to this podcast.
What?
They subscribe to this podcast. It's number one hit new show.
I know.
I would have liked to see her die a little bit more painfully and maybe a little bit more gory. Personally, but
right, just... and keep in mind this is the character we're talking about, not the actress. We hope the actress lives long and
prosper. Laurie Holden is a fine young woman.
Yes, she is fine young woman. She did a great job making us not like her character.
Yes,
damn fine.
I was a little sad that the door was closed when she was getting chewed on, but
it was, you know. Suspense. Whatever. Oh
yeah, I was shaking in my boots.
Before she came back dead, how many of you thought she would die?
I didn't think she was gonna die.
Nope, because any other show on TV with the setup they gave with the pliers, they would open the door and she would have been over his corpse, saying,
yeah.
"All right, let's go back and have fun." I was convinced she was gonna escape. It was a total surprise that she got. Have you seen it, Randy?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. No, believe me, I have seen it, and the only thought going through my mind as I was watching the end of that there is thinking, Justin must be dancing a jig right now. I was thinking he's going to be so excited that this broad is dead, finally.
Ear to ear.
Yeah, exactly. When they cut away to like the exterior shot of the door, I thought, why are they doing that? Like, obviously she's going to make it. Why are they making it seem like she's not going to make it? And then she didn't make it.
No.
How exciting.
I would have rather have been the governor that died than Andrea, sadly, because I don't like him either. And I could stomach Andrea a little bit longer if I knew that she was eventually going to die, but now I have to worry about the governor popping up at some random point.
Yeah. Where the heck did he go?
I don't know.
Disappeared.
He went to Crazy Town.
Yeah. Why didn't any of his guys just like shoot him while he was standing there, just kind of like dazed?
Because as like macho as they act, they're really just scared little boys. And then when he like flipped out like that, they just froze.
Where do we look? Where do we look?
Yeah. I did find it amusing that even Martinez, who acted like such a badass, was so scared it looked like he was going to crap his pants.
Yeah. They should have snuck up behind him. I mean, he's only got one eye.
Just come from the right. Come from the right. Has,
yeah.
And what's that crap on his patch? It's distracting.
Like railroad tracks?
It's just like some kind of texture thing.
I don't like it.
Well, because I'm sure they didn't have access to a real eye patch, so it's probably made out of whatever they found.
Right.
Like a tablecloth or something.
They know pirate ships come into town.
It's his dad's underwear that he uses to dust the house.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. I was excited to see Tyrese go back to the prison. He's a big dude. He's a big deal in the comics. And so I was kind of disappointed that he went with the governor, but I was pretty excited now that he's with Team Rick. And I was a little sad that Rick and Carl are kind of on the outs, character development.
I thought the look on Herschel's face was priceless when Carl shot the guy. I thought it was
awesome. Just totally floored.
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, that just happened.
That was my favorite part of the whole episode, above and beyond the blonde broad dying.
Oh, great, now I gotta put down another Grimes kid.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how psycho they make Carl.
Right.
He ends up getting, like, really sociopathic in the comic, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets shot in the face. Like, he loses an eye. Like, he gets shot in the head and loses an eye.
Oh, that's been done.
Yeah, he's all about just, he's not a very sweet young boy in the comics.
Well, he's growing up in a different world, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, I applaud him for having the balls his father lacks.
Well, that's not right.
It's not that he lacks balls. It's like he's living by the laws of a different world. And he's a sheriff, so that stuff is ingrained.
Yeah, and I get the background and the wanting to do the right thing. But when Carl sits there and shoves it back in his face, like, yeah, you had the opportunity to kill the governor, but you pussied out. And you had a chance to do this and came back and kill people. You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm starting to drink the kid's Kool-Aid.
Well, he has a point. I don't disagree with his reasoning, but he's living in a different world than his dad is. So
right. Carl should break through the prison walls and just be like, oh yeah.
But I mean, Carl's looking at it from an irrational point because, I mean, all right, so Rick kills the governor, what's next? Does he just kill everybody who comes around? I mean, sure, you're not playing by the same rules you're playing with pre-apocalypse, but, you know, the only thing separating the governor from Rick are things like that. You know, cold-blooded murder just for the sake of cold-blooded murder.
And,
you know, and that's what Carl did.
He's too young to understand those things.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. That's one of my biggest beefs with kids that say, you know, I'm not a kid, you know, treat me like an adult. It's like, I would love to, but, you know, you're acting like a total jackass, and it's hard for me to treat you like an adult when you act this way.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, dude, go cry in the corner and then come back when you're done. But whatever. Walking Dead.
Yep.
I'm still picturing him walking through the wall going, oh, yeah! Yeah.
I actually had mail-away Kool-Aid picture and glasses.
Oh, yeah?
That's how cool
and glasses?
Well, you know, like mugs, like Kool-Aid mugs.
Oh.
Not like spectacles.
I was like, no. What do spectacles have to do with Kool-Aid?
No, they were cups, I guess. What kid uses glasses?
Drinking glasses.
Yeah, there's a word for it. It's late.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Another premiere from this weekend was Doctor Who! Justin and I wore our bow ties. Oh, my bow tie is too big for my neck.
Oh, it's Rand again.
And
I don't have anything fun like that, but I do have a little TARDIS.
You have a little TARDIS.
Oh, cool.
TARDIS USB hub.
And while this, I wrote a whole long review, so you can read that at geeklegacy.com. But the whole plot device was ridiculous to the point of absurdity. But I really enjoy Jenna Louise Coleman, and the villain was super fun. So I think she made up for any of the ridiculous technicalities in the plot. But I don't know. What do you think, Justin? Jenna Louise Coleman got you back on board, right?
Yes, very much so. And I actually really liked the beginning with the guy talking to the camera. It totally reminded me of our first Weeping Angels episode. You remember how it was like Tennant talking to the camera, you know, like, don't blink, and, you know, blah, 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 but it just kind of had, like, this fast-paced, oh, my God, something terrible is out there.
Yeah,
Ooh, what's this? How exciting. And then, like, an internet bank?
Yeah.
I was like, all right, whatever. But I was totally down with Clara Oswald. I think she rocks. She's a very cool companion, and I can't wait to see where the show goes.
Yeah, and I liked all the little nods that Stephen Moffat, you know, wrote in there, like the Bells of St. John.
Right.
And then coming back to Clara's little, like her dying words, like, what was it? Run, you clever boy, and remember, and then, yeah. Like how that all like wrapped up and you know, where the origins of all that came from.
That also reminded me of the Weeping Angels episode. It was like a puzzle, and they had to kind of put it together. So I think maybe that's why I like the episode so much. I don't know, but I like stuff like that comes together. I like it when the beginning is kind of the middle or the end, and it goes from there. I think that's always more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Me too. So even though it was a very silly episode, it got me excited about Doctor Who again. And looking forward to next week.
When she asked the boy what chapter he was on, he said 10. And she said, oh, wait till 11, you'll cry your eyes out.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, so...
He's
been
the 11th doctor.
Yeah, and see, like, I took it as, you know, as Tennant as number 10... But see, I was really sad when that ended, so I didn't know if that was... I was supposed to take that as, you know, this new beginning kind of thing, but I remember when he said that he didn't want to go or whatever, I was, like, ready to cry. I was like, oh, God, this is, like, the saddest thing I've ever seen on TV. I don't like
And, like, him going around saying goodbye to everybody was brutal.
Yeah.
So, to me, that was my chapter 11.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I guess we'll see. It's not like Matt Smith is leaving anytime soon. I'm pretty sure he signed on for the next season after this, too. So.
Yeah, I think it's two more seasons, at least.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, so we've got a while yet with him. But...
I'm ready for a new doctor. He's okay, but Tennant's still...
He has done it the longest. Like, after this season, he'll have done it the longest of anybody.
Yeah.
Except maybe from the... old original series, I don't know.
Well, how long? Tennant was three seasons and then those little movies.
Right. So, yeah. Oh, but also, fun news that came out last week is that David Tennant and Billy Piper are going to be in the 50th anniversary of 50th anniversary special for Doctor Who. So, you had a theory, Justin, right, about like how they're going to bring him back in.
Oh, yeah, I just assumed that it was going to be the clone that's living with Rose on that, in that other dimension.
Right.
So
the one that ages.
Yeah, so it's going to, you know, it's not going to be the doctor that we know and love. Yeah, it'll look like him, but even Rose was like, you know, it looks like you, but it's not you. Remember when she got him as, like, a present? It's like her little parting prize. I don't know, that was weird.
Like,
but.
I know you can't be with me, but here's my clone.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. I mean,
clone
hopefully...
only knows everything up to the point when he had his hand cut off. Right. So it's like working on a document and your computer craps out, and it's like, yeah, you can get your document back, but only at the last save point. So you just lost all that stuff you just did. Right. It's kind of like what that version of Tennant is.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't see how they could make it into, you know, Smith's world, but maybe he jumps into theirs. I don't know.
Yeah, for never being able to get to that alternate dimension, they sure do access it.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they could swing it as in, you know, like, if it's some dumb, like, 10-second thing, that would be lame.
Right.
But they made it sound like they were going to be involved, like...
An adventure part of it?
The adventure, yeah. So, we'll see. Anyway, moving on. Other premiere, Game of Thrones!
Woo!
Yay!
I'm actually wearing my...
We got, like, our shirts. I got my House Stark shirt.
Yeah. Stark?
Yeah!
I was going over a list of all the characters I like and dislike in Game of Thrones, and I don't know if I like any of the Starks right now. Arya, I like, I guess, but other than Arya, I really don't like any other Starks that are still living. Because Jon Snow's not a Stark, he's a Snow. Right. But Bran, Sansa, Catelyn, and Rob. You okay there, Andy?
I'm taking off my headset so I don't hear any spoilers.
Oh, he didn't give it.
No, he was just talking about how he doesn't like the Starks.
Yeah. And that Sansa got murdered 5 seconds into the episode.
I'd be okay with that.
I just, yeah, I would too. That's why it didn't happen.
Sansa's pretty annoying.
They did go an interesting route with Sansa and Littlefinger in that him telling her, you know, I might have a way to get you out of here kind of thing.
He doesn't do that in the book? I thought he did.
You don't know it's him until she gets on the ship, because it's that Dantes, the fool.
Yeah, the fool.
Okay.
And then she gets on the boat and they kill...
What talk about?
Well, it's not going to happen. It's the...
I know, but we can't... I'm more than happy to talk about it when it happens on the episode, but until then, it's not fair to Randy.
This is alternate universe stuff, but I agree. I'll be quiet.
We don't know whether...
You know.
Anyway. The episode was just, like, laying so much groundwork for the season. It was just, you know, huge. It was basically a huge, like, info dump, like, exposition fest for me. Which is good, but then when the episode ended, I was like, that's it.
Well, they are making each episode, like, 4 to 5 minutes longer.
Yeah.
And after 10 episodes, you've pretty much gotten another episode. Yeah. Which is kind of cool, but
this is also why I prefer to watch Game of Thrones after it's all run and just binge watch on it and just watch it all at once. I think that's also a problem with Walking Dead. I think that's also a show that is better served by watching all the episodes back to back instead of waiting a week between episodes. Because the pacing gets thrown off by waiting a week.
It was cool to see dragons growing up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, like, when they threw it up in the air and then, like, cooked it.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. At least the special effects are pretty good.
Ah. The Unsullied. They changed their backstory a little bit, too. They made it babies instead of puppies.
It was puppies?
I thought I remembered it as babies, too.
Like, their first day at Unsullied school... Like, they were given, like, a puppy that they were supposed to raise and care for and love, and then their final test was they had to kill the puppy.
Oh.
I thought they had to kill
babies. Not a way.
There's no way I'm reading that book again, so.
No.
Touché.
I don't even know if I'll read book 6 when it comes out. Let's watch the show. I know what Arbor Gold looks and tastes like.
I think that I like... how we got to see a giant. I'm curious if we'll get to see Shadow Cats, because they were kind of a big thing with the Wildlings and Mance. At least, you know, expanding into the whole idea of magical creatures.
Because,
I mean, everything south of the Wall, at least in Westeros, there's really no magic per se. That's more on Volantis or whatever the hell the other continent is called. You know, they deal with magic Westeros. And yeah,
it really is
magic and hocus pocus, but
like in Karth.
But yeah, Westeros doesn't really get so much, except north of the Wall, which I call it Wall instead of Wall. It sounds better.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good stuff. Oh, and the meeting with Mance and Jon Snow was interesting because in the book, Mance was at
Winterfell,
yeah, when the king arrived. He kind of just hopped on the gravy train as they were on their way to Winterfell, and so he actually got to see Jon Snow at the kids' table, you know, the bastard table.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jon Snow, when he asked him, you know, how come you want to join us, he's like, well, you saw me, you know that I'm not a Stark, I'm not anyone special. Here I can be. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
they went a different route.
Yeah.
They did. Hopefully it leads to more Jon Snow.
Right.
We need more Jon Snow, more Tyrion, and less of pretty much everybody else. If your name's not Lannister, get rid of him.
You got a lot of Tyrion in this one.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah. I'm afraid when the scenes for next week makes it look like it's going to be a lot of Brienne, Rob, Catelyn, and Sansa.
Right. Well, I'm okay with the Brienne and stuff because you're going to have Jaime with that. So people haven't really been exposed to how cool Jaime is, and unless you've read the book, you don't really know how awesome he is. And so it'll be fun to see the transition for viewers. Like, oh my God, Jaime's such a badass. Kind of thing. At least.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to do that much.
Mm-mm.
Well, isn't that anything? Yeah, it's except off screen, and then they tell you what a great fighter he is, and then the only battle he's in, it's an off screen battle, and he gets captured by Robb Stark.
Right. Well, he got to fight Ned in season one, but then it got ended shortly because the one dude stabbed him in the leg with a spear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, good stuff. Lots to look forward to.
Yay!
There is.
Mm-hmm.
Evil glint in eye.
I can't. I don't know how to do a glint. I can make a green light.
Don't look at it like earlier.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not staying straight.
I'm blind!
Yeah. I need a patch with train tracks on it.
Well, that's it for TV news. What's new in movies, Dave?
In movies, lots of fun stuff. A couple quick things. Totally forgot what I was talking about, but that's okay. We'll just roll with it. Interesting news. What?
Host?
G.I. Joe? What?
Wolverine.
Oh, I like Wolverine. Wolverine had a trailer. It's really interesting. Iron Man 3 is going to have... not a separate cut, but an extended cut in China. They're actually going to film additional scenes with some high-profile Chinese actors. I believe it was Pham Bingbing. Seriously, I'm not making that up. And Wong Shei-Chi, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. And they're going to insert these actors into scenes with Tony Stark and with Iron Man.
They are.
Because a portion of Iron Man 3 will take place in China. And so I thought it was just real interesting that they're kind of tailoring part of their movie towards, you know, a different country. And I'm curious if that'll ever catch on in big movies to where they... Good?
Isn't China... Excuse me. Isn't China one of those markets where very few American movies actually end up over there because they're so highly censored?
Yeah.
Well, China and India are.
How do they get all those bootlegs?
China and India are the largest film market right now. To where India has more 3D movie theaters than everywhere else in the world put together. Like India is huge into 3D and huge into American cinema, and China, to an extent, is. You know, you have to. It's rigorous to get your film into Chinese cinema, but if you do, you have this huge audience that you can get into. So, I mean, it makes sense to cater towards them because they are such a huge demographic. There are so many of them, and they have so many of the theaters that can play, you know, high-end American movies. So I think it'll start with China, but I can easily see them trying this with other movies, you know, just tailoring it to a couple markets. You know, all it takes is, you know, 3 days of filming in China, 3 days of filming in Buenos Aires, and 3 days of filming in... you know, Canada, and, you know, you just tailored your movie to, like, five different demographics. So it seems pretty savvy and pretty good.
I think they should just have a cardboard cutout of Iron Man and just insert it.
Right.
I think that would be better.
It's a cardboard suit with, like, it's like one of those things you take your picture in where you put your head through it.
Right. Have a bunch of Chinese Iron Man running around.
I'm China Iron Man. That's racist. I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
And change his Patriot suit to a... the Chinese flag?
Yeah, I'd check that out. did you guys see the trailer for Wolverine?
Oh, no, yes. I didn't.
What?
Sorry.
Well, we'll talk about that.
I think it looks good. Jern had said something like, or Wolverine that gets butchered or something like that.
No, he was like, because the first line of the synopsis is like based on the acclaimed series, and his comment was something like, not based on the acclaim. Like he was,
no.
Jerd was hating on it, which is what Jerd does.
He is the biggest hater out of all of us. I don't care.
But he blames you, Jeff.
I thought it was Amanda, but it's definitely Jeff. That guy hates every goddamn thing.
Yeah, the only comments he ever leaves is like hating on stuff.
Yeah.
Why are you hating on stuff, Jerd? We love you. This guy
does. He hates old people, dogs,
children. Excellent tin cup reference. But I thought the Wolverine trailer was pretty fun. It was interesting to see, because typically you'll have like the domestic and the international trailers, and they'll be basically the same. That's where these ones were pretty significantly different. One was more action, one was more story, and I would say probably half the footage was different in each one. So it was kind of exciting that we got both those the same day, and we got to digest new footage.
So I'll see it.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I like Hugh Jackman.
I like him yelling when his shirt off.
It looks like you're going to get your wish in this film.
I know.
Also there was Dean Devlin and Roman Emmerich are out promoting White House Down, their not direct spinoff of Olympus Has Fallen, starring Channing Tatum as he saves President Jamie Foxx when the White House is taken down by terrorists. But he slipped some interesting tidbits about the Independence Day sequels that have long been talked about, ID Forever Part 1 and ID Forever Part 2. He says that they're going to take place 20 years after the original film, which, you know, in the actual world, it's going to be about 20 years by the time it comes out, and that they're going to focus on some of the same characters from the original Independence Day and some new characters. Will Smith's character's son-in-law is going to be one of the main characters. Bill Pullman is definitely said he is going to be involved, but no word yet on Mr. Smith himself, if he'll be involved.
What, you mean stepson?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Son-in-law.
Oh, yeah, stepson, sorry.
Okay.
Not hip on all the intermingling.
Is his mama still a stripper?
Probably. I feel like Fox still looks pretty good.
He does.
I'd watch it.
She's the kind of stripper that's going to be working at 2 in the afternoon on Tuesdays.
On Tuesday. Early shift.
She's got a lunch shift.
Okay, I want to go back. I want to go back to this Channing Tatum movie.
White House Down comes out in July. And
So they seriously made two of the same movie.
Mm-hmm. It's like Deep Impact and Armageddon.
And Volcano and Dante's Peak.
But they just come out the same year.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So yes, this one, and it's so funny, in the trailer, Channing Tatum is wearing like a beat up wife beater and he's all bloody. He looks just like John McClane in a couple of the shots. It's pretty funny. But, you know, people like their Channing Tatum. They like him a lot. They want to like do stuff to his pecs.
I like calling him Channing Tatum. It sounds like exactly the same.
Anning Adam.
Yeah, that's funny. I think we do that too now because of that
podcast. Oh, yeah?
You started something there.
Yeah, I'm a trendsetter. I'm a trendsetter. I do stuff.
Mm-hmm. How come Roland Emmerich's always blown up the White House? Is he a terrorist?
I think so. This is like the fifth movie that he does it in.
He just really loves blowing up the White House.
In 2 billion BC or whatever the hell that movie was.
10,000 BC. And then on the Independence Day front, he also said that the world is now coping with the fact that we have alien technology and how to use it, and that...
They're rebuilding the White House. They're in the process of rebuilding the White House.
But it'll float or something.
20 years.
So basically, at the end of Independence Day, the aliens sent a distress call back to their home world, and it's taken them 20 years to receive it, and now they're coming back. They're pissed. The first film's going to end on a cliffhanger, and the second film's all going to be all about us taking the back, taking the fight to the aliens. And we're going to be like,
Can't they just make one movie?
Aliens? Because Independence Day made $1 trillion, and people will see 2 Independence Day movies in 3D.
But his movies don't make money anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, are they going to have Will Smith?
No, no. Well, I mean, Roland Emmerich or whatever the hell his name is.
I mean, all his movies, I mean, 2012, I mean, for all of its, you know, not goodness and John Cusack involvement, it made quite a bit worldwide. It made over $500 million worldwide. You know, Day the Earth Stood Still made
global market.
Yeah, Day the Earth Stood Still made a grip load of money because people were all about the environment that year. You know, obviously Independence Day. Stargate, you know, is terrible and didn't make any money, but
yeah, but those movies are old now though. But like that 10 billion BC movie, that made $5. And I didn't realize that 2012 made so much money.
Yeah.
And I like how you called it 2012. I think you're the only person in the world to do that.
Because that had a Russian...
Like, what are you talking about?
Woody Harrelson was in that movie for 5 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. He was a crazy person.
What did he do that for?
But he was right.
He was right.
He wanted to be in a Roman Emmerich movie. I think what you're thinking, Justin, is Godzilla. We skipped that.
I tried to watch that on Sunday. Lynn was taking a nap, and I was like, shit, I need something to do. So then I put it on Netflix, and it's so bad, dude. I was like, there's no way this movie is as horrible as everybody says. And, like, I started daydreaming about... I didn't know I'd seen it. I saw it when it came out. In fact, I even got one of those Godzilla cup holders that was at, like, McDonald's or Burger King or some crap, and... I was so excited that I had that cup holder that I immediately texted my father, and I was like, hey, for years I had a Godzilla cup holder on my headboard. I doubt you know where it is, but if you see it, send it to me, because I was like, I want this. I got to have it. And then I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, man, this movie sucks. I don't like it.
I remember waiting in line. Yeah, I waited in line to see the midnight showing of that movie.
Oh, that's so bad.
Well, because I didn't think it was going to be that bad. That's why. I mean, it's no Armageddon.
Altogether.
You haven't seen Godzilla, Randy?
Nope.
You have to see it just because it has to be a joke on us. Like, there's no, I don't know how it got made.
I remember
like,
it's Matthew Broderick.
So terrible.
Right? Yeah, he wears a hat.
He does. Hank Azaria's in it too.
Yeah, he has a camera.
Yeah. I remember seeing really terrible action figures for it. But
he plays Animal.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
And nobody can find this giant lizard.
Well, think about it. He's on an island with all these buildings. It's with water all around him. It's the perfect place to hang out. That's a line from the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say, how did we lose this dinosaur?
No, I remember that. Yeah.
What they need to do is get the aliens from the other Dean Devlin movie, Independence Day, and he could just blow up New York. Take care of it.
Yeah.
Who would miss it?
Anyway.
Nobody.
Sorry I mentioned it. Godzilla. Yeah. Dumb.
It's a fantastic film. You should all check it out. It's
great. It's really good.
It's top shelf. And then the final thing I want to talk about for movies was they released the trailer for Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. And I am a big Percy Jackson fan because deep down I am a 12-year-old boy. And I like Camp Half-Blood, and I like all the Percy Jackson books, and I even like the sequel books that talk about the Roman gods, and I just want to see this movie, and I'm excited.
Speaking of 12-year-old boys, I shaved my pubes the other day.
Oh, yeah? for said 12-year-old boy, or because you want to be like a 12-year-old boy?
Just couldn't remember what it was like.
Like, what? Why? Why do we need to know about this?
Oh, I don't know. It just popped in my head.
Oh, God.
Insert 12-year-old boy joke there. So so that's all I got. It's, I guess that's where Percy Jackson takes Justin.
Yeah.
Well, but
what about G.I. Joe? Did you guys see it? Am I the only one that saw it?
I saw it.
I didn't go see it.
I enjoyed it for what it was. It's better than Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, but Cobra was in it for like 6 minutes.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed. He looked pretty badass, though, when he was in it.
He looked cool, and I like how he left Destro.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. Oh, he's like, oh, you're out of the band.
I like that they just destroy, like London and don't even think anything of it.
Right.
What?
I think it's funny how, like, I'm 100% invested in anything that Snake Eyes does. Like, as soon as he's on the screen, I'm 100% focused on him. Like, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do. And then the rest of the movie, I was just kind of tossing and turning and eating and drinking, and then Snake Eyes comes back on. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening?
Focus.
Yeah. It's funny how that works.
Did you guys ever see the G.I. Joe animated show Retaliation? Not Retaliation, that was the movie. Retribution, I think it was.
Wasn't it Renegade or something?
No.
It was an R word.
Yeah, it was an R word that escapes me. Reclamation, I don't know. Reparations, who knows?
Reparations!
But it was really good. It was like, it was kind of like how the original Clone Wars was, to where they were like 5-minute episodes, and then they had like 15 of them, so it made a feature-length film, and it was really good. They, Cobra Commander's a really bad guy in that. Like, they start killing...
Well, he is
like
a terrorist, Dave.
Yeah, but, like, really bad. Like, he's
was
not
a
bad.
Terrorist school.
Terrorist you?
Yeah.
And they kill off major characters like crazy in the show, but it was pretty cool. But yeah.
Well, okay, and then with G.I. Joe, with Retaliation, they kill off all these Joes at the beginning, but none of them mean anything to me, except for Duke.
Right. You know
what I mean? I thought that was kind of dumb. I think that it would have been a bigger impact if it was, if they weren't just these nameless faces.
But, right. Well. Yeah, Anning Adam was, I thought he was going to have a bigger part.
Yeah. Whatever.
It happens. Okay. That's it. Go to geeklegacy.com, check out all the posters and trailers, so you won't be sad. And speaking of sad, Justin, what's in the world of video games?
Is sad?
Why is that sad?
I don't know.
Let's see. Well, I did play Bioshock last week. And you guys know that I was, you know, I was really pumped up about that. I was all like, yeah, Bioshock! Like,
it's not that great.
Well, it's getting rave reviews. Everyone's giving it like a 90 or 100. But I couldn't connect with it. And I tried really, 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 really hard. I wanted to love this game. And I was talking to Stephen Alva Wood about it. And I just trying to pinpoint what my problems were with it, and I think that there's so much going on in the game. Like, they went through all this trouble to add... Oh my god. What was that?
You guys sorry, that might have been me.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's alright. So they went through all this trouble to add all this, like, lore to the game, where there's these audio logs and like, phonographs and movies and all this crazy propaganda posters and announcements. There's the ridiculous citywide announcements going on the whole entire game. And I think that would be cool if the game was a stealthy game, but it's a total run and gun. So if you have, like, ADD, it's like a real issue. So, like, you're running and you're trying to kill a guy, and then you got to stop and look at this poster. And you don't have to, but you want to, because they went through all the trouble to put it there. You know what I mean? So it's kind of frustrating. I feel like if this was a stealth game and I'm got to take my time, then I'd be more than happy to look at each and every little element that this game has to offer. But instead, it's run and gun, and I'm just blowing the shit out of people and chucking fireballs at them, lightning, or using lightning to shock them to death, and that's a lot of fun. But there's also this whole backtracking element. So if I go through this huge building and I open up all these doors and find all these cool things and kill a guy, I gotta run back the way I just came. And it's a process, and I can't stand that. I want to always feel like I'm going forward. I don't want to ever have to backtrack. And
like Metroid?
Yeah, and so that's a little frustrating. Especially for a story that's pretty linear as it is, that I didn't see any point in having to go backwards. And when something could just happen, like maybe the building falls apart and because of all the crazy destruction, or I got to fight this... There's like this guardian. It's like this giant bird that's protecting the girl. You know, if I had to fight this thing every time I got to the end of this, you know, a boss fight, then that would be my way of getting out of the building and maybe falling and then landing on the bird. And there's also, like, this crazy, kind of like this gondola airway system, because it's a floating sky, right? Or a floating sky, a floating city, and you use this railing system to travel. And you could easily jump out of a window and then use that to escape rather than go all the way back on foot. I thought that was kind of weak. And another thing that really bothered me was the graphics weren't amazing. You know, Bioshock came out years ago, and it doesn't look any better than that to me. You know, it's like 2007 or maybe 2008 is when Bioshock came out, and, you know, it blew me away. And this game just looks the same to me. And it takes place, you know, outside, and the only colors I'm really exposed to are like this peachy color, maybe like a brass color, and the blue sky. So it's really not a whole lot of depth to it. So it just kind of bothered me. I don't know. And I think another thing, too, with Bioshock was
I'm in this underwater city, right, this rapture city, and I'm very claustrophobic, and I just felt like I had to escape and get out, whereas now I'm outside, and it's all beautiful, and there's, like, these popcorn vendors and hot dog vendors, and everyone's having a good time, and it's like Boardwalk Empire the game on the city boardwalk kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was just total, hey, I got my little hat and my striped shirt, my cane, and I'm having a good old dancing time. So, I don't know.
Like Waldo?
Exactly. I wasn't connecting on a level that I think I could have if it was just done a little bit differently. So, everyone else seems to like it. Maybe I'm crazy. I probably am, but I don't know.
I think a lot of people that like it are just excited that it finally came out. Like it,
right.
It's almost like we never thought it would actually come out, like Duke Nukem Forever. And so, like, it came out, so we have to, I guess, respect it.
I guess. But, I mean, considering it took so long to come out, I wish that the graphics looked a little bit better. I mean, with God of War 2, that was at the end of the PlayStation 2 life cycle, and the graphics were amazing. Here we're at the end of the PlayStation 3 life cycle, and it looks just like freaking a game that came out in 2007. So, I don't know.
That's probably when they started making it. And they just, right. That's the problem when your game takes, you know, 6 years
so
to make.
Long. Yeah.
Your game's going to look 6 years old when it comes out.
But yeah, that was just my beef. But whatever. Not for everybody, I guess. I mean, it should be a fun game, and it probably is. I'll just go out on a limb and say that I'm a little crazy.
A lot crazy. Mm-hmm. But not because of this. The two aren't related.
Right. Yeah. So there. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Mm-hmm.
That's it? No other video game? No fun update on Injustice or anything?
Well, did you guys watch the matchups?
I did.
They're pretty cool. I mean, we said at the beginning of this that it was going to be Batman and Superman, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we got. Who do you think is going to win between those two?
Superman.
I want Batman to win.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to see Batman win, but I'm going to give it probably to Superman.
Just because the story is all about Superman, he's kind of has to win.
And there's no kryptonite involved, so it's really the only way Batman could beat him, but...
Well, yeah, I guess. Lame.
It's like 1 second, he has no kryptonite, Superman just punches his face and kills him. Yeah. He's like, winner!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. If they got in an actual fight, then Batman wouldn't stand a chance.
Batman also wouldn't stand a chance against the Flash or any other superhero.
Oh, I guess that's true too.
But he
doesn't actually have any powers.
He's got his brain. He's
rich.
Guy.
That's a pretty big power.
Yeah.
He ran the Flash over with a car. You don't think the Flash could have moved out of the way?
He was too dazed from his ass kicking. So there.
No.
Maybe. Batman has, like, this device on his utility belt that slows the Flash down.
No.
Mm-hmm. It was, like, flash
why not?
Spray. It was flash spray.
There you go. Flash repellent.
Yeah.
It disorientates him.
So, yeah. That's it.
He found a female Flash in heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And rubbed her piss all over his back.
Oh, my God.
He's like, pee on me, quick. I got a matchup against the Flash really fast.
Like T-Rex pee in Jurassic Park 3. Speaking of T-Rex pee, hey, what's up, Randy? You got some fun toy stuff?
Actually, I do. Thanks for noticing. Yeah, actually.
It's what I do.
I don't talk about toys often here.
Says right
here.
Up there.
I don't talk about toys often here on the Geek Legacy podcast, but when I do, it tends to be usually Star Wars related, and this time is going to be no different. With Hasbro's success, yeah, as David is pointing out, his collection over there of countless... You got Stormtroopers there, or are they all clone troopers?
They're all clones.
Yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
Anyway, with Hasbro's massive success of the vintage collection, which is basically new action figures with articulation and super cool looking in old packages from the 70s and 80s, they are now going to be putting out what they're calling the Modern Collection, which they're reproducing the packages from the mid-90s. And to anybody who was collecting back in those days, these things are just god-awful looking. I hated them back then, and I hate the fact that they're bringing them back now. And I actually have some visuals to show you guys and see if I can share this.
Wait, these are the buff-looking figures, right?
Yes, they were the buff-looking figures. They were just...
like, I remember just Buff Luke.
So that's Plowboy Luke. He's all buff from tilling farm, man.
Moisture farming. You just go to Tashi Station.
Yeah. Pick up some power converters. I gotta lift them over my head. Parkour.
I'm gonna press that R2 droid. I'm gonna do some reps. Well, my pecs.
All day, son. All day.
Extreme! Are there visual aids?
Yep. All right, here you go, guys. Right now you're looking at the original Farm Boy Luke package from 1995 with a brand new figure in it. So they've even... I don't know. Why would they do this? I hated this packaging. And next on the old list here is Darth Vader. So it's a really cool-looking figure, super up-to-date sculpt, just god-awful packaging. And then we round it out with Obi-Wan Kenobi here. And the thing about this is those three figures are going to be available in a three-pack at Comic-Con this year.
Oh, so, great. I can't wait to stand in line for that.
I am not going to be standing in line waiting for that shit. And expect to see a whole line of those piece of shit figures hitting retail stores near you sometime after summer.
Like, you're not going to have this conversation at Comic-Con? Well, I kind of want to get up early and go to the shop. And okay, we'll get up early and go to the shop. No, we don't have to. We'll go, Randy. We don't mind. No, it's all right. No, Red, let's do it.
For the Indiana Jones figures, that was...
And then we're like, no, okay, fine, we won't go. Well, maybe we could go.
We got to go stand in line to get a ticket.
To stand in the other line. Oh.
10,000 people, no one has a problem with this.
Oh, my God.
I love Comic-Con, I love the Comic-Con experience, but I have a few choice words for how certain things are handled around there.
That's stupid.
Love them.
Hey, no, everything at Comic-Con is great. Don't mess this up for us.
No.
I love, like I said, I love Comic-Con. I love the process. But it is a process.
That's right.
New process.
So that's the only toy news that I've got. Expect to see those god-awful things that are going to fly you back 20 years into the past. Store shelves this summer.
Are they going to do green Power of the Force 2 or just orange at this point?
I don't know, honestly. We don't know yet. So far, the only ones that they've released pictures of the orange ones that I just showed you guys there. So, and like I said, they're going to be probably in some really nice-looking three-pack, something that opens up clamshell style to reveal those guys. But I don't know. I can't get into it. I just can't get wood for that. Give me vintage packages all day long, but those, pass.
Give you a nice 12-pack and you're all about it.
Yeah.
Where can I get a bottle of Flash pheromone?
You gotta find a female Flash to pee on you.
Yeah.
Put that in a bottle and sell it.
Why don't you Google female Flash pees on Batman? I bet you something comes up.
Does it come out like something is gonna come up.
Well, now it's gonna come up. It's gonna show our podcast.
Yeah. We need to title this podcast "Female Flash pees on Batman."
I like it. And it comes out in a lightning bolt motion.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the name of the episode. Quick, pee on me.
That's a whole nother demographic.
It'll sell.
Don't Google that.
It's big in Canada.
It is.
Yikes.
I thought they liked syrup.
You'll have to ask Steven. He's in Canada.
Flash piss, because they move so fast, it comes out really slow, like molasses.
Oh, like molasses? Like syrup.
It's like syrup.
Oh, tapping a tree. What do you think, Amanda?
Tapping it right from the source.
Just so shakes her head disapprovingly.
That's so edgy.
Voice of reason.
Did you have any other toy news, or is that it?
No, that's it.
Do you guys want to do a fun list?
Go for it.
Do I?
Speaking of Canadians, eh?
Canada, eh?
Yeah. Mr. Stephen Alva Wood submitted a top 10 list of actors that should be in the Expendables 3. and I thought that'd be fun for us to go over. Since
is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it is what we're talking about. Is that offensive?
I don't know. I hope not. I apologize if it is.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I don't think Canadians mind. They're too nice.
Are they? Unless their team loses, then they have riots.
That's just Vancouver. Like every other city in Canada, I think, is polite and cordial.
Yeah,
except Vancouver and Montreal when Guns N' Roses doesn't play.
Oh, yeah. Then it's like, we're burning this mother down.
Yeah.
That means the French Canadians that are a little bit more volatile.
Yeah, the Quebecois. Yeah.
Anyway.
Enough of the geography of Canada.
What am I trying to do?
I don't
know. What are you doing?
I gotta look away. I was trying to think of like numbers 1 through 10 in Parlez-vous Français, and I was gonna start at number 10, but I forgot it. My French is rusty.
All I know is Formula
Like no, maybe. I don't know.
At around 8, I start doing it in Spanish.
Yeah. Don't you just add an A at the end, like 10A?
No.
Like,
no. Let's get some fries and gravy, eh? Some Molson.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, number 10.
I just keep thinking of it in German.
Yeah, I don't know German either. Except Guten Tag.
Hot Small.
Anyway, number 10. Lou Ferrigno. He's a good guy. Yeah. He charges $40 to get his autograph. I wonder what he charges to be in a movie these days.
I was going
to
bring that up.
I was just thinking about that guy today.
Fucking guy.
Ironic.
Anyway, he's worth an F-bomb. Fine young man.
I like him in King of Queens.
Yes, he's funny. I like him in the movie I Love You, Man.
Yeah.
The big old Hulk statue. Or not Hulk statue, but Lou Ferrigno statue.
Right. I was in the market for a house with a giant Lou Ferrigno statue, so I'm pretty set right now.
So we'd all be cool with that, right? He's a big dude.
Yeah, I like Lou Ferrigno.
Freaking number 9 is Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
He's old and scary, and
he's pretty old.
Yeah.
I could get into him as like a boss, like leadership role. Like if
One I don't of, like, think the people pulling the strings. Yeah, I don't think he can handle actual action anymore.
I don't know. I think Clint Eastwood could probably beat all four of us up at once. He looks like a tough dude.
I think he might be a little delusional because he thought he had a gun in his hand in Gran Torino.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go presidential.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going.
Convention when he's talking to an empty chair.
No, my young man could beat the shit out of me any day of the week.
Doesn't mean he's not crazy.
That's true.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Number 8, we have Jackie Chan.
Yeah, and I think he's actually going to be in Expendables 3.
That's cool, because Jet Li was in it for like 6 seconds, and I was a little sad about that.
Yeah. Like, wasn't Jackie Chan in the first one? Nope, other Asian.
Wow. God damn it, Dave.
Seriously, you're offending everybody today.
Yeah. What? Oh,
we're
okay.
Name a podcast available in China, and you're...
All right. Okay, quickly, name a third one. Jet Li, Jackie Chan, and...
Chiang Fat. Chiang Fat.
Chiang Fat. Okay, fine, Justin.
Boom.
Moving on.
Gone. What do I win?
You win the Offensive Man of the Year Award, because you think they all look alike.
Number 7.
Wow. Number 7.
You just said they did.
Who?
You did.
When did I say they all look alike? I didn't say that. I never said that.
Playback.
There's no playback. I never said that. Number 7 is Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson. He was heavyweight champion of the world at age 7. Beat the crap out of everybody.
Veneer.
Yeah. Twice.
Face tattoo.
Yes, he's got the wicked tattoo there.
Special guest referee at WrestleMania 13.
He was also a referee at... Oh, no, he wasn't. But he was in Crocodile Dundee 3.
Oh.
There was a 3?
Yeah, when he goes to Hollywood.
In L.A.?
Yeah. But he was in that. But no, Mike Tyson's cool. That movie that they did, that documentary, was amazing. I loved every second of it.
He had a one-man show, too. And it's coming to L.A. next month. I'm going to go to it. It looks interesting.
No bet.
Yeah. Could be fun.
Yeah. Number six, Wesley Snipes. That's a good choice.
Yeah, he needs tax money.
Yeah.
Isn't he in jail, though?
Tax evasion.
I think he's frozen in jail and waiting to come out.
Cry to sleep. John Spartan.
Simon Phoenix.
Yeah. He was gonna be in the first one, and he was not able to because he was not able to leave the state he was in. Or
the state of imprisonment.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I like Wesley Snipes. You know, White Man Can't Jump is one of my favorite movies.
Oh yeah?
I'm just gonna throw that out there. It's great.
More than like Wildcats?
No. But I like White Man Can't Jump a lot.
Yeah. It's a documentary.
I think it's really good. Yes, it is.
With Rosie Perez going on Jeopardy. We all bought that, right?
Mm-hmm. Who's the star with the letter Q?
Quince.
Yeah, she's funny, too. You get a little side boob action, too. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, number five. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Funny man. Isn't he crazy?
He's a little very.
But he, after all, he was a governor. It was kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So are lots of people.
Like those lots big of buff guys.
It's cool. Like anybody can become governor these days.
I think he was a prison, or he was a guard in Arkham Asylum in Batman and Robin. So
he was okay. In Running Man.
That's
and
an impressive resume. Yeah, he was Blaine.
So he's already been in two Schwarzenegger films.
Yeah, no, three.
He's a buff dude.
He's in three Schwarzenegger films.
Predator.
Running
Predator,
Man.
Running Man, and what am I missing?
Batman and Robin.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I blocked
said
that
he
one
was like a, he was like a guard.
Yeah, I don't register Batman and Robin anything.
Oh. Well, I was like, what? Batman and Robin?
I don't know. They made a Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
Is that the one after Dark Knight Rises?
It was so good.
It was probably better than Dark Knight Rises, though.
Got some George Clooney there. Oh, my God. My eye. It hurts. I think I, like, turned the eyelid inside out on accident.
It's bad. You shouldn't do that.
I need to fix it.
Number five.
Who's number five?
That was number five.
Steven Seagal?
Number four.
Who's number four? Is it Steven Seagal? I saw him on here. Yes. Steven Seagal. With or without ponytail, though? That's the question.
Only with?
He can rock a wicked PT.
I didn't know that. Assumed he still had it.
No, he chopped it off after Under Siege.
Did you guys see Steven Seagal Lawman, that reality show?
No.
No.
Train wreck.
I saw, like, the soup covering it every once in a while.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah. Number three, Hulk Hogan.
He is the greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah,
he's not the greatest actor, though.
He's got the boot to the face and a leg drop that probably hurts him more than the other guy.
He was in Suburban Commando and Nanny with Muscles and Three Ninjas 3 and No Holds Barred.
That was like his starring debut.
That was a big deal.
He had a TV with a boat. Something?
Like Thunder in Paradise?
Yeah.
Yes!
And he was in Rocky 3.
Yeah.
With his name was Thunder.
Thunder Lips.
He rocks the thunder. Thunder. Did I tell you that I kept singing that to Lynn all day?
Oh yeah.
I was like, "You've been thunderstruck," but I was like yelling at the top of my lungs like all day. I was just like, "Na na 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 na, thunder." And I was just like stomping and hitting the steering wheel in the car. And it was. She didn't like it.
Are you trying to drive her away?
No. I cannot sing at all, and when I try, it comes out a lot like AC/DC voice. So I can do AC/DC songs all day long. So
you should check out Jim Brewer's AC/DC impression. It's very good.
I'll do that. Yeah. Mine's terrible. Okay, mine's like Drunken Loser Night at a Karaoke Bar AC/DC. So mine's not that good. All right, anyway.
That's what it's supposed to sound like.
Right. Anyway, number two is Mr. T.
Pitifu.
Yeah.
Also in Rocky 3.
Yes, he is. Clubber Lang. But he's a scary guy.
Pain.
He's mean in that movie.
Yeah, I would. I could be him, Mr. T.
Yeah.
I like, he's like a funny sidekick, because Terry Crews is like the modern day Mr. T in Expendables. So I would like to see him more in a comedic role because he's older.
I think Terry Crews is a beast. He is so badass. I love that guy.
Yeah. I like him in everything, including White Chicks.
Yes. He is hysterical in that movie. He's so fun when he's like, when he's wearing that little G-string or whatever. My God, he's scary looking.
With all the pictures around his house.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, you're not white?
Yeah, he's all sad. Number one would be Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which I could totally see that too. But
He's not already?
He's not even that old, which makes me kind of...
He should be in every movie ever made. I'll watch everything The Rock is in.
He is one beastly man.
He keeps getting bigger.
I know. God. You know,
he's ginormous.
He is ginormous. There was a trailer for the new Fast and the Furious movie when we went and saw G.I. Joe. And as ridiculous as that movie is, I can't wait to watch it. And I was smiling the entire time the trailer was on. I was just like, oh my God, this movie's so cool. I can't wait to watch it. And even when they like pull down the plane with the cars, I'm just like, it can happen. I don't care. It's awesome.
And then he drives, and then Vin Diesel drives through the front of the truck.
I was like, oh my God, this movie's awesome.
They're trying to get a Lou Hobbs solo film. The Rock's character from Fast and the Furious trying to get him his own movie.
I read that somewhere.
On KeithLegacy.com.
There you go. And then his bonus pick, his honorable mention, I guess you could say, is Sigourney Weaver.
The hottest of the hot.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she could definitely... I mean, if any woman could make the cut with all the dudes, she is it.
Yeah.
I would rather see her in a starring role in the female version of The Expendables.
I like to see her, if she was in The Expendables, as like the villain.
Yeah.
Like just this like mean B-word who's just pulling the strings.
Yeah, she could do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
she did in the movie Paul.
Yeah. Out of all these people mentioned, do you see any of them as the villain?
Well, I mean, they made Van Damme the villain.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood would be a good villain.
Yeah.
Like in the Dr. Claw kind of way.
Yeah. Like, he could have been the original, like, Sylvester Stallone in The Expendables, and now his government wrote him off, and now he's in charge.
Oh, yeah. We haven't seen him before.
Yeah.
No, I'm down.
Wesley Snipes could be a villain.
Why, because he's black? Come on, man.
So he is the villain
it's 2013. It's 2013, Amanda. You're better than that.
He was the villain in Demolition Man.
The Rock would be a good villain.
He can break out of prison and go shoot this movie. Yeah.
But now he knows how to knit.
Yeah.
Steroids are a hell of a thing.
What was the deal with that movie? Instead of like learning something passive while he was in cryostasis, he learned how to become an even worse terrorist or something.
Yeah. Stallone learned how to knit. Snipes learned how to kill.
No.
Wasn't fair.
Not at all.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys want to play a fun game?
Yeah. All right, every day.
This is going to be a little bit different.
Oh.
But here's what I'm going to need from you guys. So I'm going to need you guys to go like this so I see your hands so you're not Googling shit.
The whole time?
The whole time. Only when I'm asking a question. Only when I'm asking a question.
And my feet.
But just know. That's what you're going to need to do.
Okay.
All right. And,
this is my Googling.
Yeah. All right.
Google keyboard.
So this game is called What a Load of Malarkey. And the way it's going to work is it's a game of multiple choice. I'm going to give... three film titles, two of which are fake, and all you need to do is choose the name of a real film. Okay? So, are you guys ready? You're going to get three choices. I'll name off all three names, then I'll go through each of you, and you can say, you know, which one you think is the real one, and then we'll identify, okay?
Okay.
I like it. Do it.
All right. So, oh, side note. These are all horror film picks, okay?
Of course.
So every single one of these movies is a horror film. And that was because Jess was supposed to be here, but they don't have internet in Ohio. So.
Is that Cleveland. Where she is?
Yeah.
No wonder if I'm having so many problems.
I know.
Dave's got the garage internet. She's got farm internet.
Don't be jinxing my internet.
Okay.
All right, let's go. All
right, first one. All right, so the first of three titles. Okay, here we go. The Cookie Cutter Killer, The Ginger Dead Man, or Bakery of Blood. Randy, which of these films is a real one? Hands up.
The first one. The
Cookie Cutter Killer?
Yeah.
Excellent choice.
Wait, can you repeat the last two again?
Bakery of Blood was the third one. That's my choice.
And Ginger Dead Man.
I like them all.
My instinct was... we're choosing the real one.
Yes. So you have the Cookie Cutter Killer, the Ginger Dead Man, or Bakery of Blood?
My God, this is hard.
They're all pretty silly.
I'll go.
There's not money on it.
Ginger one.
The Ginger Dead Man?
The Ginger Dead Man.
Amanda is correct. In 2005, an evil yet adorable gingerbread man comes with the soul of a convicted killer.
Love it.
Yes, I do. Okay.
Oh,
hands up. This next one. Here we go. Invasion of the Blood Farmers, Revenge of the Farmer's Daughter, Hide Your Penis, and The Blood Harvest, Are You in Season?
I think it's the last one.
Dave, what do you think?
Number one.
And Randy, what do you think?
Number two.
All right. And number one is correct. Invasion of the Blood Farmers. 1972. Somewhere in upstate New York, a young woman is terrorized by a group of rural farmers interested in a harvest of blood. All right. Third one. Hands up. Okay. Hookerstein, Frankenhooker, or Rise of the Zombie Hookers?
I have seen Frankenhooker. It's real.
I was going to say Frankenhooker.
I would say Frankenhooker as well, because goddammit, if it's not, we got to make one.
Right. It is real. 1990, Dave. Thanks for ruining it. But everyone was going to guess that anyway, apparently. 1990, yeah. a med student sets out to recreate his decapitated fiance by building her a new body made up of Manhattan Street hookers. If he has the ability to do this, why doesn't he just put her head back on her body?
Maybe she was hit by a train.
Maybe her body was destroyed.
Maybe. Well, it should say that. It shouldn't just say decapitated.
Not cool, dude.
Anyway, next one. Hands up. All right. Night of the Bloody Apes. Orangutans Crave Human Brains, or The Raping Apes?
I think it's the first one.
Neither Raping Apes.
I hope to God it's The Raping Apes.
I'm going Raping Apes.
Okay, you guys are both wrong, and Amanda is correct.
Yay!
The Bloody Apes.
Taking a commanding lead.
In 1972, a doctor's dying son is saved by transplanting the heart of a gorilla, but the gorilla instinct takes over.
And our next screenplay, Randy.
The Raping Apes.
That's going to be the in-flight movie for SJ.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Last one. All right. The Cot of Corpses, Hungry Hungry Hammocks, or Deathbed, the Bed That Eats.
Deathbed, the Bed That Eats.
Deathbed.
Randy, what are you thinking? God. Hungry Hungry Hammocks?
Again?
Hungry Hungry Hammocks, The Cot of Corpses, or Deathbed, the Bed That Eats?
Oh, God. I'm going to say The Cot of Corpses.
It is Deathbed, the Bed That Eats. 1977.
Too specific.
A bed possessed by a demon spirit consumes its users alive. Did you like Hungry Hungry Hammocks?
I did. I appreciate the save there.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I won, you guys.
Yay.
Was that the last one?
That was the last one.
I won a game. Oh.
Yay, well, congratulations.
Great job, Amanda.
Yay.
You know your horror movies.
I was too
W-H-O-R-E.
Too busy laughing inside to be able to say that this is the final question. But this.
No, you said it.
You must have. Amanda knew it was the final question. Unless she knew ahead of time.
No,
he said it.
Nepotism.
I spent like 2 hours trying to come up with these names.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Do you want me to do it next time? But I can do it faster.
No. Well, I had to be creative. Some of you guys guessed poorly.
I'm creative. Very creative. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you are.
I did not choose poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's about it.
Awesome.
Yay. Dave, plug our other podcast.
I had fun. Did you guys have fun?
I had fun. So much fun.
Too much fun for everyone. And you can have more fun by listening to the other Geek Legacy podcast, the Pixelated podcast with Stephen K. Janes. He usually records that on Monday, up by Tuesday. You can also listen to the Mighty Jerd and Tyler discuss all things comic-related in the Geek Legacy Comic Corner, and that is every other week, usually airs on Friday. So if you subscribe to the Geek Legacy feed, which you should, you'll get the Comic Corner. You'll have to subscribe to Steven's Pixelated podcast by itself. Definitely go to iTunes and rate all of us a 5-star and write a nice review for us, because when other people are looking for great podcasts, they want to find ones that are reviewed well. And since you love us, let them know you love us, and then they'll love us too. And they'll rate us, and they'll tell their friends, and they'll tell their friends, and they'll tell their friends, and then we'll all be friends. Randy needs more friends.
Raping apes.
Yeah. that's his new profile.
You gotta stop raping those apes.
Yeah.
It happens. But yeah, definitely check us out on the iTunes there and give us 5 stars. And that would we would be very appreciative. We would send you cookies and radio come to your house and like clean.
Mm-hmm.
And a French maid outfit. House.
Yeah, it's true.
But there's more. Tell them how they can support our website.
Well, if you like Geek Legacy and you like lights, like we like lights to stay on, you can go to geeklegacy.com and click on any of our banners and go shop at Amazon, because we're all going to shop at Amazon anyways. Someone might as well get a little credit for it. Might as well be us. So click on your Amazon links on geeklegacy.com, and it'll help support Geek Legacy. And if you love the content we give and you want to see more of it, you know, that's how you can help support us.
Yeah. And even if you don't want to see more, you know, support us anyway.
Yeah, shoot us an email that you want to see less of us, and we'll take the hint, because you'll be our bosses, because you're paying the bills.
Yeah, and I need my Nair.
Yeah. He likes to be smooth.
Yeah.
Rewind about a half hour, you'll see.
He doesn't like to pluck it, no sir.
I was telling Josh that I like to use the novelty teeth.
Little chatter.
Yeah. It's like eating corn on a cob, like 1950s animation style.
You gotta make the
like a typewriter.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. It is.
All right.
Let's all think about what we're laughing at.
Wait, what am I laughing at? I spaced out.
Junk.
You're laughing about how much fun you love to do the outro.
Yeah.
You. It is.
You
yeah.
do.
Cool. Sweet. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We had fun doing it. Hope you had fun listening. Always check out our website, geeklegacy.com, for all your latest geek news and reviews. Every day is updated many, many times to please and pleasure you with all of the best movie posters, set photos, trailers, TV reviews, TV schedules, toy news from Randy. Randy's got a card. And Justin does a lot of video game stuff. So definitely check us out at geeklegacy.com. Like us on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. Have a good night.